Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And Yahweh be magnified. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome to another beautiful broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I am Moray Isha Yisrael from the House of Yisrael, located at 1907 Vine Street, here to bring you nothing but the truth. And we'd like to say shalom to everyone that is tuned in and turned on our program. For we know that the only reason that you have turned on our program is because of your great fear and love towards the mighty Yah. And who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea, and all that there is. Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yahweh is the only king, the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel and the world. And Yahweh is the one that has ordained us to bring you his word, his truth. And that's what we are going to do. And this evening, we will speak on a great topic dealing with peace. What is peace? Because we say shalom, which means peace. But what is peace really? And this is what we're going to deal with. For the Creator lets us know that if you follow after him, he'll show you the ways of peace. And what is these ways of peace? If you go to the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, start reading in the first verse where it says, "To everything there is a season, a time, and to every and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace." So all of these times have their season, and all of these times have their opposite. As you see, there's a time to weep, but the opposite of weeping is laughter. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to get, but there's also a time to lose. It's the opposite of getting. There is these times. And if you want to know one from the other, just look at it opposite. If there's a time of war, then there is a time of peace. But what is peace? What has to be the exact opposite of war? And what is war? We know what war is. We think that we're intelligent if we read books called The Art of War. We think it's macho and intimidating to be called a warrior. We think it is something to look to if you're called a man of war. But what about peace? See, war is unrest. War is danger. But most importantly, war is confrontation. War is confrontation. When there's war, there's contention. When there's war, there is opposing sides fighting, struggling, battling. But there is no peace when there's war. And if there is a time of war, then there must be a time of peace. In the book of Psalms, the fourth division, verse 5 reads, offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in Yahweh. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Yahweh, lift up thou the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than time that their corn and their wine increase. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Yahweh, only makest me dwell in safety. See, I'm going to lay down in peace. I'm not going to lay down in struggle. I'm not going to lay down in contention. I'm not going to lay down in battle. I'm not going to lay down in unrest. But I'm going to lay down in peace and sleep. I got wisdom from my father many years ago before I got married. And he told me, do not go to bed angry with your spouse. And it's easier said than done in relationships. Sometimes you're angry with each other. But it is good wisdom. But what must one do to not be angry? What must someone do to not feel like they got to fight? To not feel like they have to contend and struggle? How can the ways of Yahweh teach us this peace? Well, evidently, according to the Most High, there'll be nothing but peace if you keep his ways. In the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter, start reading in verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yahweh. And he shall make him quick understanding in the fear of Yahweh, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and prove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall neither hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh, as the waters cover the sea. And if this is what will happen when Yahweh sends his servant to teach in his seven spirits and to judge in this manner, that it will set the world at peace. And how do we know it's going to set the world at peace? In the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 6th verse reads, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall be called, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty Elohim, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." See, this man that Yahweh is anointed, that he is raising up, that he is putting his spirit on, he's going to be called the Prince, which means the chief, the head of peace. He's going to be teaching the ways of peace, leading in the ways of peace. Verse 6-7 says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this." Meaning, Yah will make it come to pass that he will send his anointed to exact peace and not war. And this is what we all want. We should want it anyway. Who wants to deal in so much war when peace is settled? Peace is quiet. Peace doesn't have you in contention. And how do the ways of Yahweh give you this peace, bring you this peace? I still got to show you what you're used to right now so you can get the understanding that we really let peace escape us over something very insignificant. The reason we let peace escape us is due to one silly thing, and it's called vanity. We let vanity cause war. And in the book of Isaiah, the 59th chapter, it states in verse 7, "Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore, judgment is far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. for brightness, but we walk in darkness. This is about Israel, the wicked of our doings, cause us to not even know the way of peace. We don't know it. And why did we not know it? It says, the way of peace they know not, and judgment is not in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. See, these crooked paths that we have attached ourselves to that cause us to not know peace. It's funny that the religions, especially the two major religions of today, attempt to tell you how much peace there is with their religions. When these are two of the bloodiest religions on earth, Buddhists aren't as bloody as Christians or Muslims. Confucianisms aren't as bloody as Christians or Muslims. The Taoists aren't as bloody as Christians or Muslims. The Metunetter people, comedic sciences, Egyptology, whatever you want to call it, aren't as bloody as Christians and Muslims. Even these voodoo folks aren't as bloody as Christians and Muslims. It's Christianity that spread its religion with its sword all over Europe, all throughout Africa, and all wherever it went. They called it the Crusades. To spread Christianity and murder millions of people. And in the name of Christ, they are still murdering people. Islam, which is supposed to be the religion of peace, spreads its message by murder, killing. How do you think your ancestors even converted to Christianity and Islam? Through force, through murder, intimidation, bloody, bloody religions. Yet they tell you that they're about peace. That's not peace. These ways aren't spread through peace. And this is what Yah said, that these crooked paths, whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Why do you think in the book of Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 34th verse, the Christ of the New Testament said, think not that I am come to bring peace. I have not come to bring peace, but the sword. For I've come to set a man at variance against the ones of his own household. Son against father. Mother against daughter. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. Son-in-law against father-in-law. Brother against brother. He's came to put people against each other. That's what he said. But they want to tell you that that's the way of peace. You know, Yahweh said when you follow these crooked paths, you shall not know peace. Islam lets you know to fight your brother if he doesn't submit to Islam. So we don't have peace amongst these major religions that have annihilated millions of people. And don't think that Jewish man is exempt just because he perpetrates the fraud that he uses the Torah. when you look in the Talmud, their real book of laws for the Jewish folks, they let you know that it's not murder if you kill a Gentile. They let you know you can kill or murder for reasons that Yahweh never endorsed. What do you think they're doing over there in our land right now? Annihilating people just so they can keep a foothold and a stronghold on their preposterous claim and trick you. All these ways that our people have chosen that are not the way of Yah are not the way of peace. They are the ways of war. But how do the ways of Yah give you this peace? If you look in the book of Proverbs, the 13th chapter, the foundation to a struggle is there has to be two opposing sides. You have to have someone in opposition. Something is in opposition. Our elder, Senior Moray, made a great statement weeks ago. Said, when men have a controversy between one another, we take it to the priest and we condemn the righteous, and we condemn the wicked and justify the righteous. And the wicked gets 40 stripes. But what is the condemnation for those who have a controversy against Yahweh? What is the price? Because what you know is Yahweh is not the one who's wrong. Yahweh is not the one who's in error. Yahweh is not the one that started this fight. So it must be us. In Proverbs, the 13th chapter, the 10th verse reads, only, remember what it just said, only by pride cometh contention. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Only by pride. And Solomon didn't mistype, miswrite, misspeak, misquote. Only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride comes a struggle. Only. And what's that mean? Maybe you're not the wrong party. Maybe you're not wrong. And you in a fight. And you're in a war. And maybe you're not the wrong one. But only by pride comes tension. In the book of Psalms 34, it reads in verse 14, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. How does that look? What do we do to do that? And what lengths will we go to achieve that? And you got to look to some men or women that actually accomplished that. And then you'll see why there's so much war and so little peace. Because only by pride comes contention. Let me give you an example of how it looks when someone seeks peace and pursues it. In the book of Daniel, the 6th chapter, verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, which means the way he had his government set up, he had 120 princes, heads, chiefs over all the kingdom. And over the princes were three presidents, which means in chosen ones, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Meaning Daniel was the chief of the presidents. Meaning Daniel was the prime minister of the king of Babylon. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. You see, Daniel had an excellent spirit. And how many of y'all bosses can say that about you on the job? Because Daniel was on the job. Daniel didn't ask to live in Babylon. He was brought into Babylon as a young man into captivity, and he was chosen to serve in the kingdom. He didn't ask for that job. He didn't run for office. He was chosen. But he had an excellent spirit. And that means what? That means his spirit was pleasing. His spirit was nice, merciful, loving, kind, wise, prudent. He had an excellent spirit. How many of our bosses are going to say that about us? But Daniel had an excellent spirit. And so the presidents and the princes said, man, this Daniel, man, we can't, why are you going to set this, you know how they talk about us, this slave, this nigga, this Negro, how they going to set him over all of us? So then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could not, but they could find none occasion nor fault, meaning they looked through his books. He didn't steal any money. They checked his credit. They checked his validity. He doing something, and he was just hiding it. Was he just like all the other politicians that was hiding something? But they couldn't find nothing against him. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Meaning Daniel was perfect on his job. He walked uprightly because he had an excellent spirit. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his Elohim. Meaning he will compromise himself to go against the laws of the kingdom if they conflict with the laws of his Elohim, which they knew that Daniel was faithful to his Elohim. They knew Daniel wasn't about to be a wicked man. They knew Daniel kept the laws of the Most High. How many of your co-workers know that about you? How many of your friends know that about you? or do only the Hebrews on the Sabbath day see you wearing fringes? Only the Hebrews on the Sabbath day hear you say shalom. Only the Hebrews on the Sabbath day hear you praise Yah. Hear you or see you reject swine and all other unclean things. Hear you talk about the Creator. See that you walking with the Most High. Is that an everyday thing for you? Like it was for Daniel? But they knew. We can't get Daniel on anything unless we compromise him to break the law of the kingdom, because it will go against the law of his Elohim. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any Elohim or man for 30 days, save you, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. And that's how the politicians do. The politicians, they will get together and come up with all kind of decrees, statutes, judgments, laws, all kind of things, and bring it to the head and tell them some flattering words like, yeah, nobody do except you. Only you. Now, oh, that's what's up. You got my signature. Next thing you know, mayhem. Verse 10 says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his Elohim as he did aforetime. Daniel waited for this thing to be signed. Like, okay, let's see. And then what did he do? He opened his windows and he prayed in front of the whole city. Everybody that could look could see Daniel broke the law of the kingdom. But what did Daniel do in breaking the law of the kingdom? He held fast to his integrity. He kept his faithfulness. He walked in the way of the Creator. And he knew where his peace came from. He knew that they set a battle against him. They besieged him. They lined themselves up as an enemy and thought to slay him. And what did Proverbs 13 and 10 say? Only by pride comes contention. And instead, they already told you where their pride was at. The enemies already let you know where the pride is at. And in letting you know where the pride is at, how are you going to combat that? What did Daniel do? He sought Yahweh. And why? Because he knew that he can't go and get prideful and start contending with something that was set against him. There was no allies for him. His direct supervisor, King Darius, signed it. okayed it. Everybody was against him. What should he have done? Well, what do we do in these situations? We go to town. We raise hell. We'll even tell people, I'm about to raise hell. They don't give me what I need. I got rights. I'm going to raise hell if they don't. Oh, I'm about to act the fool. They about to see. They can't. I ain't about to go down like this. Only by pride comes contention. And what are we doing? When the battle is against us, we don't raise hell. But what did Daniel raise? His arms. In prayer. 3 times a day. And prayed. And what did he do? Gave thanks before his Elohim. As he did aforetime. He didn't change nothing. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his Elohim. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the kingdom, king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of Elohim or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? O king, that king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Yehuda, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king said, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. See, he was upset. And why? Because he knew Daniel was a good man. Daniel walked in the ways of peace. He knew it. And he was like, man, how am I going to get my man out of this thing? Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed. So there was nothing that he could do. There was nothing he could do. He was trapped. Political snare. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said, unto Daniel, thy Elohim, who thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. He had to petition Yahweh. He had to say to Daniel, look, your Elohim going to save you. I can't do nothing. These men, they got me, they got you. But your Elohim gonna save you. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his masters, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went into his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him. And his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came unto the den, he cried with lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spoke and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living Elohim, is thy Elohim whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said unto the king, and look what Daniel said unto the king. And why we got to pay attention to what Daniel said to the king? Because do we respond to our bosses this way, when we triumph? How do we respond to our bosses when we triumph? We say, yeah, boss, got you. I told you. You knew it. No. Daniel said, O king, live forever. My Elohim sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before the king have I done you no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his Elohim. And the king commanded they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lion had a mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, wherever they came at the bottom of the den. And so what did we see here? And then verse 25, then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. And why now peace? Because he saw the ways of peace. He saw how you can be safe. He saw how you can triumph war even when the battle is against you. He saw how peace can be brought even when the battle is against you. And he said, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the Elohim of Daniel. For he is the living Elohim, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Because this Daniel walked in the ways of peace. He didn't raise his voice. He didn't raise his guns. He didn't raise his sword. He simply prayed to God, as he always did. And peace was shown unto him. Lions who tore apart his accusers before they even hit the bottom of the den. Which means what? They know how to create some war. They know how to contend and destroy. But these lions sat with their mouths closed in the fear of Yah. Because who can defeat the Creator? No one can. So how are we going to be able to get peace? Only by pride comes contention. Only by pride comes contention. Do we really deal in peace, or are we just saying shalom? Are we really being peaceful? You want peace? Look what the Creator said in the book of Micah. The 6th chapter. The 8th verse. He showed you, O man, what is good, and what does Yahweh require of thee? But to do justly. You got to be righteous if you're going to be peaceful. Daniel was righteous, and he was peaceful. And he wasn't peaceful because he didn't stand for Yahweh. But on the contrary, he was peaceful because he stood for Yahweh. He believed Yahweh, had faith in Yahweh, trusted Yahweh, knew Yahweh. And so if that's the case, you what Yahweh requires, which is to do justly, to love mercy. Yeah, why are you going to love anything but? Mercy is kindness. Mercy is gentleness. Mercy is forgiveness. You got to love mercy and walk humbly with thy Elohim. Yeah, how do you walk prideful? Pride and serving Yahweh are not compatible, which means pride and having peace are not compatible, which means humility is your way to peace. And the laws of Yahweh is humility. You can't keep the law of Yah pridefully. How you know you can't be prideful and keep the law of Yahweh? In the book of Proverbs, the 6th chapter, just to show you, this ain't peace here. And if it's not peace, it's definitely not the law of the Creator. And in Proverbs, the 6th chapter, the 16th verse reads, these 6 things does Yahweh hate. Now, you know it's not about to give you anything that will help you keep the law. You cannot keep the law and do something that Yahweh hate. These 6 things does Yahweh hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. A proud look, which means you cannot be prideful and keep the law, which means Daniel wasn't prideful, which means you must be humble, which means that's how you get peace. That's how you possess peace, and that's how you walk in the ways of peace. First thing you got to be is humble. And Daniel showed tremendous humility when the battle was set against him. Tremendous humility. He was the top president, the top minister, the head of 120 and 2 people who ran the country. Only one above Daniel was the king. And the king trusted the whole realm, the whole kingdom, into Daniel's hands. So Daniel essentially ran the country, ran the kingdom, I should say, because Babylon ran countries. So Daniel was a king. And 120 and 2 people, 120 princes and 2 of the presidents, which he was amongst 3, was all against him. Not only them, but the counselors, the ambassadors. Even the king had to be against him in policy. And Daniel, the most powerful man in Babylon, did not raise one voice, one hand in fight. What he did was call on the Creator, because he knew Yahweh would triumph that battle for him, because Yahweh is the Savior. And peace remained with Daniel the entire time. In the book of Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, and I know that we might think that, nah, I'm ready for war. I'm ready to go out and destroy the heathen. I'm ready to take the heathen by its ankles and smash them against the rocks. I'm ready to fight. I'll tell you something. As long as I've been in the knowledge of the Most High, as long as I've been in the knowledge of the Most High, I've been trained to fight, trained to even take a life if I've had to. I'm trained, but not one time have I had to use it. Not one time. Because every battle in which I might need to use my training, I first go to the Most High. He's never suffered me to have to use it. But there's a time of war and there's a time of peace. Even in war, you can be at peace if you know the battle you're fighting. And in Jeremiah 29, verse 4, it says, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. I just think it's so amazing, even the names of the cities that Yahweh has put in this book. You've been carried from Jerusalem, which is pronounced Yerushalom, the city of peace, to Babylon, the city of confusion, which is not peace. Confusion is the opposite of peace. In war, there's chaos, blood, and murder, and killing, and fighting, yelling and screaming, unrest. But in peace, it's quietness. It's relaxing. It's serene. It's harmonious. It's ordered. It's the truth. And we were carried from the city of peace to the city of confusion. But even here, Yahweh sent us his message so that we can remain with peace of mind, remain with peace in our spirit. He said, build ye houses. You don't ever stop building. It's family for Yahweh. Build you houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may be their sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. See, if we focus on this, then it will be much easier, as it says in verse 7, and seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto Yahweh for it. For in the peace thereof shall you have peace. In this captivity, in that captivity, in any captivity, we should be praying to Yahweh. That's how you seek the peace of it. Pray to the Almighty. Do what he said. Build houses, plant gardens, get married, have children, increase, and pray and seek the peace. Daniel sought the peace. Daniel didn't seek war against his employer. Daniel sought peace. He didn't want to diminish. He wanted to grow. Even this man, David, though he was a warrior, he had peace. And he had peace because he knew Yahweh was his protector. Yahweh was the one that fought for him. Yahweh was the one that made his way straight. Look what it says in Psalms 110. Verse 1 reads, Yahweh said unto my master, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Yahweh shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. This is talking about David. Yahweh said, I'm going to make your enemies footstool. David had to fight these battles for the Creator, but he knew that these battles were already won. He knew all he had to do was seek the Creator. So thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of his holiness. From the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Yahweh has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Yahweh at thy right hand shall strike kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places of with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Yahweh protected David. David knew Yahweh was with him, even though he was at war. He remained with peace. Even look in the book of Micah, the 5th chapter. In Micah 5, as a matter of fact, let me take you to the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. In Ezekiel 37, we're going to start reading verse 21. It says, and say unto them, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king over them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their Elohim. And David my servant shall be king over them. And they shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I give unto Yaakov my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince, forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I shall place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And what is he going to give us? This covenant of peace. This is this covenant, this new covenant. It's going to be of peace. And why? Because it's going to be written on our hearts. We're not even going to have to think about breaking the law anymore. We're just going to do it and walk in the ways of the Creator. And you're going to have peace forevermore because you have the ways of Yahweh in you. And this is how we get peace now. See, the reason we don't dwell in peace now, we don't dwell with shalom now, is because we don't want peace. And why don't we want peace? I'll show you why we don't want peace. In the book of Ecclesiastes, in verse 8 says, chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, verse 8 says, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. And this is what we're riddled with. Vanity. Even looking in Ecclesiastes, the 6th chapter. Verse 1 reads, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man whom Elohim have given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet Elohim giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth. This is a vanity, and it is an evil disease. And you know people like this. Rich, wealth, honor. Don't lack nothing. But somebody else eats it all up. He can't even enjoy what he done heaped up. Why? Because he's all about this vanity. Verse 3, if a man get 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. For he cometh in with vanity, and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. He said a man had 100 children, and he lived a whole lot of years, so that his days and his years are many. His soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial. I say that an untimely birth is better than me. Who lives all these years and has all these children, but still can't find good? And why? Because of vanity. For he cometh in with vanity, and parteth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. For what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desire. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yahweh's letting you know vanity is what keeps you from even knowing what peace is. Look in the last two verses of this chapter. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, is man the better? For who knoweth what is good for man in his life? All the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow. For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? This vanity is what keeps you away from knowing peace. If you wrapped up in vanity, then you're wrapped up in confusion. You're wrapped up in things that have nothing to do with life. And we lose sight on what life really is about, what life really is for, why you even live. And if you're going to lose sight of that, you're not going to have peace. For it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, the 13th verse, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You have to fear the Most High and walk in his ways. This is what you're supposed to do. And then, only then, can peace abound with you. In the book of Isaiah, the 26th chapter, verse 4 says, or verse 3 and 4 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in Yahweh forever, for in Yahweh is everlasting strength. You don't have to worry about anything if you put your trust in the Creator. You don't even have to worry about dying if you put your trust in the Creator. You don't have to worry about the enemies if you put your trust in the Creator. Look in the book of 2 Kings. In 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, verse 9 says, and the man Elohim, this is Elisha, sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware, if thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of Elohim told him, and warned him of, and saved himself there. Not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Assyria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my master, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of Elohim was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Yahweh, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And Yahweh opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto Yahweh and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. This is how a servant of Yahweh deals with war, confrontation, battle, conflict. We trust in Yahweh. Daniel, he prayed. He didn't have to go and bring out the guns, march in front of the courthouse, picket sign, all none of this stuff. He just prayed to Yah. Even the king fasted. Daniel just prayed to the Most High. Elisha the prophet had this little guy running around all frantic and afraid. He wasn't at peace. He was not at peace. Alicia was at peace. He was chilling. He was cool. He was like, man, you got to relax, brother. Well, why, man? They got horses and chariots. I said, yeah, but those that are with us are more than that's with them. He said, I don't see no. It's just you and I. It's just the two of us. He prayed and asked Yah to open his eyes. He saw the great armies of Yahweh's host around Elisha. And Elisha prayed to Yah and said, blind. See, that's how you know you trust in Yahweh. But what are our people today doing? What should we be doing? It's the time that our captivity shall come to an end. We are about to experience a trouble that has never been seen. We're already dealing with enemies. We're already dealing with people that are hunting for our soul. They want your life. And what are our people doing? Are we praying to Yahweh? Or are we fighting? Or are we using that only thing that creates this tension? And what is that? Pride. Are we still prideful and so haughty that we're not going to seek Yahweh and pray to Yahweh to fight this battle? But we here at the house of Israel, we're going to pray and we're going to fast. And we're going to pray and fast and pray. For Yahweh to fight this battle. And in this praying and fasting, if you're not seeking peace, finding peace, then is your mind on Yahweh? Look at the book of Numbers. The 16th chapter. We're going to start reading in verse 1. It says, now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelet, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moshe with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aharon, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and Yahweh is among them. Wherefore then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of Yahweh. When Moses heard it, he fell upon his face and spake to Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow Yahweh will show you who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him who hath he chosen will he cause to come near unto him. See, Yahweh deals with these kind of people. Moses, he didn't stand up and say, I know who I am. I'm the chosen. You Negroes need to step back and start hitting them with his staff and doing all kind of crazy stuff. He didn't flaunt. He didn't flex. He just fell to his face. And he prayed to Yah. And he called on Yah. And he kept his peace. And the last scripture I'm going to show you is in Isaiah 54. Because peace is without conflict. There's no war in peace. There's no contention in peace. There's only the way of Yah, this humility, calling on the Creator to fight your battles, to make your paths straight, to make the crooked ways straight. When you have peace, you're always at rest with the Creator. You're always with an excellent spirit with the Most High. Because you have peace. You're not afraid. And you know you're safe. Because you trust in Yah. And in Isaiah 54, it says in 15th verse, "Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for your sake. Behold, I have created the smith that blows the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument of his for his work. And I have created the waste to destroy. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of Yah, and their righteousness is of me, saith Yahweh." And this is where you get your peace from. Trusting in Yahweh. Walking in his paths. And if you don't know all his paths and don't know all his word, there's one main thing you must know to remain and to obtain and to sustain peace is to be humble with your Elohim. Knowing that he's the one that's going to take care of these things. He's the one that's going to fight your battles. He's the one that's going to give you the wisdom to fight if you need to. But you should never escape peace when you walk with Yahweh. When you walk with Yah, you will dwell safely and dwell with peace, even if you have to be at a battle. Because only by pride comes contention, and that means only by not being humble with Yah will you lose your peace. But if you remain humble with your Elohim, then peace shall be with you. And shalom. Until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do I. Praise the mighty Yah.
For a Tribe Entertainment.
My ancestors claim 400 years since
of many kings, Yah's name is gone. We are the mighty Yehuda Deen. Lions of Yah, praise Yah with me. The righteous,
Yah.
The holy,
Yah.
The creator,
Yah.
The only.
The righteous,
yes.
The holy,
yes.
The creator,
yes.
The only,
yes.
He is our king, our savior, and our judge, Yehuda Deen. Yahweh is righteous. He is our king, our savior, and our judge, Yehuda Deen. Yahweh is righteous.
It's gonna be a new day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Call on.